WPHM now presents Paul Miller's Week in Review.
Well, hey, everybody, thanks for listening. Starting Monday, April 6th, this coming Monday, WPHM will no longer be broadcasting on 1380 AM, the place it's been for nearly 80 years. Instead, the WPHM morning show, which I host, will be on the new WPHM 105.5 FM and 1450 AM. We'll still talk with local newsmakers and highlight local news and information. And then when the morning show is over at 10 a.m., it'll be country, rock, and folk music. We talked about that big change on Friday with Radio First General Manager Scott Shigley.
It's really odd to, you know, kind of think about it, you know, sitting here thinking about that this is going to be the last time you're going to be on this station. But, you know, I mean, I can put my own interviewer hat on, you know, and looking at you and asking you what, you know, what are some of the things that that you think about when you think about, you know, kind of this, the, you know, the history of, you know, kind of, I mean, we're not moving anywhere, right? But I mean, just certainly the frequencies are going to move, but we're still going to be in the same studio. But.
Yeah. Well, it's been nostalgic because, I'm still doing the same show that I've been doing. And it'll change a little bit, but not in any major dramatic way. It'll still be in the same studio, like you said. But I grew up listening to AM radio. You know, I grew up listening to, you know, the little clock radio next to my bed where I'd scan the dial. And we're so lucky in this market to have Port Huron stations, Sarnia stations, Detroit stations, you know, London, Windsor. I mean, it's a full radio dial.
Right.
And I just remember as a kid listening up and down the dial, but primarily 1380 was what was on in our house growing up.
Yeah, it's really interesting, you know, because like when you look at just the history of our business and all the things that, you know, have, you know, been added technology wise, you know, and how it kind of has changed what's most important to us. I mean, back in the day, you know, when AM radio was first, you know, coming into, you know, its inception, it was really important to have like broad, you know, reach across as much, you know, as many miles as you could go. And, you know, as we've evolved, you know, we've come into, you know, the streaming world where, you know, now literally someone can listen to you anywhere in the world.
And they do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And it causes you to kind of, you know, like reevaluate and say, okay, well, which, you know, things are most important, you know, to us, you know, in providing, you know, the programming that we do. And, you know, having just the number of AM stations. I mean, we'll still be on 1450 AM, of course, but... yeah, it is interesting. It just really is a change. I think it's something that you're going to continue to see, too. I mean, as we kind of, you know, move along, I mean, since the early 90s, we've had over 800 AM stations that have just ceased operation. And, you know, since COVID, it's been over 300 of them have done the same thing. And, you know, and I think it's there's a combination of things. It's, you know, a lack of, you know, really programming that you have that... you know, is really serving your community in a meaningful way. It's hard to find and sustain. And then, you know, you want to keep live people on the air as much as possible. And that's what we really strive to do here.
Well, and we, you know, to reiterate what we talked about a month ago when we announced this will make us a stronger company. We are going to be three radio stations. We're going to be Q Country 107, 96.9 WBTI, and 105.5 WPHM. And those three stations will continue to serve the community.
Yeah, and that was what was really important for me. I mean, when I looked at it from a broader standpoint, you know, you look at it and you go, okay, you know, who's really listening at these particular times? Mm-hmm. You know, are we relevant to, you know, our clients and advertisers with, you know, with this programming? And then are we focused? Because anytime you have, you know, a lot of different things, it really gives us an opportunity to really look at it and laser focus what are we really good at? And then how do we do more of it? I mean, that's one of that's just a basic management tactic, you know, that I think most people, you know, understand. It's like, you know, you don't, anytime you're trying to do things that maybe you're not as great at, you know, it causes you to lose focus and do more of what you're really good at. And this is what it's going to help us do. And I'm really excited about it. I think people are going to really like the opportunity to catch you on an FM dial. I'm excited for the group of people that might not have navigated over to AM, and now they're like, wait a minute, who's
this guy?
Who's this Paul Miller guy? Well, like, where'd he come from?
They're about to find out. And then after I get off the air at 10 o'clock, it'll be country, rock, and folk.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about the music that people are going to hear on the new WPHM.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because I've been in this business for a long time, Paul, and one of the things that has been interesting over the years, so we have a very successful country station in Q Country, and Q Country really focuses on popular country music. And country music over the last probably 20 years, it's probably been that long, even though it doesn't seem like it, really kind of took the mantle from what was, you know, when we were kids, it was top 40 radio that was kind of, you know, the 18 to dead demographic.
Right.
And, you know, was really the popular music. Well, country has really kind of taken over that spot. And listen, it's incredibly popular. I mean, to the point where what you do is you're basically killing new songs. Like, and I think our listeners can, you know, relate to this. It's like, you ever get sick of hearing a song? Well, guess what, though? That's what we do. Like, you play that, a new song that's popular is going to get played once every 3.5 hours, and we're going to bury that thing. We're gonna make that thing end up in your head for as long as you want it there.
For sure. But
one of the things that's changed over the years is in country radio that I found fascinating is that there are a lot of artists out there that I think are really representative of like what country is and have a lot of influence from, you know, the early country and bluegrass, like whether it be Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, those folks that doesn't get played on country radio. And if you think about artists like Zach Bryan or Sturgill Simpson or the Avett Brothers or Tyler Childers, like these are really talented artists, and they don't get played on country radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they don't get played on country radio is because when you're a singer-songwriter, the record companies now, they want artists that are going to play songs that their songwriters write.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, so they get the publishing fees, right? And, you know, and so if you don't agree to do that, you really don't have the push on country radio that you probably should. And so when I was looking at that, I thought, you know, this, look, there's a lot of really good stuff that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not getting played in a popular way. And I thought, you know what? You can find a lot of continuity between these artists and then even going back and as it relates to artists like Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Tom Petty, the Grateful Dead. And what we did is we thought, okay, let's see what happens when we bring, you know, these artists together. I mean, because we'll play anything from like Led Zeppelin to Bob Marley on 92.7 that's going to switch over to 105.5. And the response has been really, really amazing, and people love it. And so you're going to hear a lot of, like, you're going to hear Jimmy Buffett, but you probably, you know, you might hear Margaritaville every once in a while, but you're going to get exposed to Jimmy Buffett that you never, you know, thought that you would ever hear, and you're going to, I promise you, you're going to like it. And we have new bands, like if you've ever heard of, like, the Red Clay Strays.
Mm-hmm.
Hugely popular band, now out in festivals and touring the U.S. Actually played at Lexington Village Theater at one point, you know, which was really cool. But yeah, these guys are huge now. Noah Kahan, you know, is another name, you know, that Billy Strings, who's right here from Michigan. And this guy's won Grammys as the best bluegrass artist in the United States and is terrifically, you know, talented, but those are the artists, you know, that we're going to play, and I think people are going to really enjoy. You'll hear familiar songs, like we know that you got to have some familiar songs in there, but you give it a run. I think you're really going to like it.
It'll be on after I get off the air at 10 o'clock on 105.5, the new WPHM, which debuts next week. I'm excited, Scott.
It's going to be great. And you know what? Let us know. You know, like what, you know, what you think, because, you know, we're always striving to make these, you know, stations better and more in tune to, you know, our local community. But yeah, Paul, this is, I think about all the people that have signed on and signed off here, you know, on this frequency. And it's got a long history of some really great voices. So yeah, We are aware of that, you know, but we are very excited about what's to come.
So Long 1380, Hello 105.5. One of our first guests on the new station next week is going to be Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
She'll join us.
Yeah, she'll be with us on Monday. So.
All right, man.
But you got to go over to 105.5 to hear it. So.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Scott.
Yep, we'll see you.
That's Scott Shigley joining us. He's the general manager of Radio First, talking about our big changeover to 105.5 FM on Monday. Speaking of changes, over on Q Country 107, longtime radio personality Chuck Santoni entered into retirement a couple of weeks ago. We caught up with Chuck and talked about his 50 years in broadcasting.
I thought years back, I thought, boy, if I could make it to 70. Mm. And that rolled around, and I went, you know, if I go to 73, I'll put in 50 years in radio. So I started at WABX in Detroit in the spring of 1976, and sure enough, we got 50 years now. So
wow,
21 that's, years here.
That's fantastic. Yeah, 21 years here.
That's something.
That is something.
Yeah.
So I want to go all the way back to 1976. What gave you the audacity to say I could be on the radio?
I had a speech class in high school. And a guy that you might know by name, at least, Dan Yesian. I don't know if you've heard that name. Okay.
No.
He's a pretty big deal in the Detroit area. Uh-huh. He was my speech teacher.
Okay.
And he said, Chuck's got a good radio voice. Well, at that time, being a music nut, you know, buying my first 45 at 3 years old. By the way, a 45 is a small record. It's like a single. And so my ABX had just started. WABX, first freeform radio station in Detroit, had came on the air in 1967. And this was about 68. And the light bulb went off in my head when he said that. And I went, ooh, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I knew that my life had to revolve around music because I was somewhat a musician as well. And sure enough, college radio, where in 1972-73, I met a mutual friend of ours, a guy by the name of Ken Calvert, came in to WORB in Farmington Hills and looked at me and said, hey, I'd like to do this. And as soon as I heard his voice and he went into one of his tales, I went, this guy's a natural. So I showed him how to work the board. And it wasn't long. I think it was about 74. He landed a job at W4 in Detroit. And then he was pulled over to WABX, and he brought me in 76.
Who were some of the other names at ABX?
Steve Dahl.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing overnight. Steve Dahl was doing the morning show. Dennis Frawley. At the time I was there, Jerry Lubin. Dan Carlisle was off somewhere else. My first shift, Jerry Goodwin, who had been around the top 40 radio stations and was really a cool guy. Interestingly enough, my first shift was on a Saturday night. I went in, Jerry was on air, and he looked at me and he said, are you nervous? And I said, yeah. And he said, I bet. He said, before I do every air shift, I have to go to the bathroom first. So anyway,
yeah,
76, and so it went from there.
You mentioned
W4.
Who was the morning guy at W4?
Howard Stern.
How about that?
And I was the midday guy, and I'm sure I've told you the tale before on Stern, and I don't think I can really get into it on air. So I won't share that with you,
but that must have been an experience.
It was, yeah. Stern was not as you see him today. He was like a kid from New York, New York Jewish guy with a popped polo shirt. You know, he was a character on air, but he was pretty normal guy off air.
Right, right. So. Just kind of almost introverted, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As so many people in radio sometimes tend to be. So what brought you to Port Huron?
I was working in Detroit. I was doing part time at the time at WMGC Magic.
Yeah.
It was called. It was part of the Greater Media Group. Mm-hmm. And at that time, a local sales manager, I think he was a local sales manager, was a guy by the name of Scott Shigley.
I know him.
Yeah, he's our, of course, our general manager here, and vice president. So he was down there doing sales, and Larry Smith, rest his soul, was looking for someone to fill Brian Harper's place.
Yeah.
And I guess Brian Harper asked for too much money, and they went, okay. and Scott came up to me, and he said, hey, you're looking for full-time? I said, yeah, sure I am. He said, would you think about working up in Port Huron? And I thought about it, and I realized I would have to move Joe, and that was a struggle in the beginning. But, you know, it all worked out so well. Larry hired me. I was the morning show host and program director. And then Joe met up with Carly Van Dyke. Carly, what was her last? Ketchman was her name, over at Port Huron Northern.
Joe's your son.
Joe's my son. And, you know, Joe found his voice with Carly. And, you know, his
what
career,
a voice it is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
His career has blossomed. He's still out in L.A. doing movies and a variety of things.
Yeah.
So it worked out very well for us. I thank Larry up and down. And I thank Scott because Scott knew Larry, had worked here before, and recommended me. So that's how it all came to be.
It's a small world, radio, isn't it?
It is. It sure is. And it gets smaller all the time.
Well, it does. I mean, how have you seen this industry change in the 50 years that you've been part of it?
You know, in the day, when I'm saying the 70s and rock radio and 80s, they were, if you were a well-known personality, you could make a pretty penny. Nowadays, with things like voice tracking, you find that there's a ton of stations that don't even have live local content anymore.
Sure, sure.
Everything is voice tracked. That's what's kind of beautiful about our stations here in Port Huron,
right,
is that, you know, we do live local content. So it's nice to have that. But, yeah, there's been a lot of changes. And it's, you know, if Joe came up to me and said, Dad, I'm thinking about getting into radio, I would tell him, there's other things you can make a lucrative.
Maybe as a hobby, but exactly. It has changed a lot. You're absolutely right. I will mark in professional radio next year 40 years.
Attaboy.
It sneaks up on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. That
number
flies.
Gets big.
I was going to say, time flies when you get older, Paul, and if you haven't realized that yet.
No, I'm beginning to recognize that.
Yeah.
So what are your retirement plans?
I play a little piano. I have ever since my youth. I'm going to get more serious about that. I play a little guitar. I have for a long time. I used to be a pretty decent drummer. Was asked to audition for Bob Seger's Silver Bullet Band back in the day.
Wait a minute. I feel like every time I talk to you, I learn something new that I didn't know
before. You didn't
before.
Know no, that?
I didn't know that.
I got my first job at WABX. It was 1976. The drummer of the Silver Bullet Band was a dear friend, a guy that I grew up with two blocks away from me, Charlie Martin. And Charlie was still living with his aunts and uncles, and he was walking home. His car ran out of gas on the Southfield Freeway. I shouldn't say he was walking home. He was walking down a service ramp with a can of gas, and a drunk woman hit him, and he became paralyzed from the waist down. So my name popped up because they said, Charlie, we want to keep the band local. Do you know any drummers? And Charlie and I knew each other from drumming, pretty much. So I got asked to audition. I hadn't played seriously. Punch Andrews called the ABX hotline and said, Santoni, hey, I understand you're a drummer. I said, I used to be a decent drummer, Punch. Yeah. I said, I haven't played seriously in a couple of years. He said, put that kit together and putz around with it and come down for an audition. And I said, you know, I just got my first job in radio here at WAB. It's my dream job. Punchy, I'm not good enough for you. Thank you for the offer, though. And that's how that went down.
How different life would have turned out, huh?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Could have been,
good stuff. Well, Chuck, we wish you all the best in retirement.
Thank you.
It's been great working with you. I've really enjoyed getting to know you. Don't be a stranger. Come back.
I'm sure I will.
From time to time. Yeah. Not too often. Not too early.
Exactly.
And maybe at one of the speakeasies downtown one of these days, I'll see you playing the piano.
I doubt that. Anyways, yeah.
All right.
If it's a player piano, then maybe.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy your retirement, Chuck Santoni. Hey, our old friend Bill Gilmer, he retired a few years ago. He stopped by recently with reminiscences of his local radio career as we get set to say goodbye to 1380 and hello to 105.5. Here's our conversation with Bill.
1979.
All right.
Yeah.
And you went to work for John Whisper.
Yeah. Yep. It was a cold start. I can remember the first thing I saw, one of the first things I saw, was an ice pack floating down next to the Municipal Office Center, which was relatively new back then. I was like, what have I gotten myself into? To me, it was pretty far north. I was Fort Wayne area, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Huntington County, a little town called Warren. In fact, even a smaller crossroads called Plumtree, Indiana, is where I hail from. And so all this was new. I knew of the Port Huron Flags because Fort Wayne had the Comets.
Oh, and sure, yeah.
So if you listen to the Comets, every once in a while you hear something about the flags and the Port Huron Flags. So you'd get that. There was a powerful radio station called CKLW that beamed down that way and was the number one station in the daytime when you could get it good. In that part of Indiana. I mean, they were, they were the hottest thing going for a while. So I knew Merle's Chevrolet. I knew 8 and a half.
So I was familiar,
never saw any of this.
Yeah.
And I think I learned more Canadian history than I did Indiana history while that era happened. But I did come up here. John Whisper hired me out of Defiance, Ohio. I worked in Defiance for a year. Through the blizzard of 78, if you remember that mess. Yeah, we could do a whole show on the blizzard of 78. Came up here and worked with Tony Bruscato, the late Tony Bruscato, who was here for a few years. And then I became news director at 1450 WHLS. Somewhere in that era, the nicest sound around format for WSAQ became Q Country 107. And at that point, I was also doing news on that station from time to time. People remember Brian Harper and that programming. So
you got to go way back to remember before Q Country was Q Country.
It was
Montavani.
It was just jazz. If it didn't put you to sleep, in fact, it put the jocks asleep sometimes.
Well, it was easy listening.
Yeah,
it was mostly instrumental, very soft, quiet, elevator type of music.
The loudest thing on it was in the studio because they had automation that was, it was called carts, if you remember, 8 tracks.
Yeah.
Back in the day, radio stations had similar devices, but the little wheel came up instead of being part of the cart. Anyway, without getting into the weeds too far, there was, imagine a carousel with, let's say, 25 carts in it, and they were all music or jingles or, any number of things, and you could effectively walk away, and it would run itself, at least until it got stuck somewhere.
Right, which inevitably it will, and you'd have to get a paper clip
it was a mechanical thing. So
in those days, in the 70s, 80s, when you were here, there was WHLS, which was full-service radio. It was music and news and long-form newscasts and sportscasts and lots of information. And there was WPHM, which was the same format. It was music, but it was also lots of long-form news programs. And the competition between the news departments was fierce.
Right. If you ever saw Anchorman, I mean, we didn't cut anybody's arms off, but almost.
No, it was fierce competition between the two radio companies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Competition for advertising dollars and competition for scoops on news stories.
Absolutely. There was Dave Allen, Dave Moore over at WPHM. Eventually you were involved, if not already involved then. And on our side, we had Mr. Bruscato and myself, and we would actually listen.
Our old buddy Bill Gilmer, always good to catch up with him. Well, everybody, thanks for listening to us on 1380 for all these years, and we'll see you Monday morning at 105.5 FM at 1450 AM on the new WPHM. Me in the morning, country, rock, folk all day.